Blog Talk Radio.
Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing, fresh from the world. Sweet the rains new fall, sunlit from heaven. Like the first dew fall on the first grass. Pray for the sweetness of the red garden, sprung in completeness where we see mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light, Eden's all play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for the springing, fresh from the world.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And we never know, maybe a Twisted Mister or two. I hope everyone's having a great week so far. And as always, I always hope you have a better week to follow. And hello, ladies. Hi, Pam. Hi, Naomi. How are you both?
Hello, hello.
Yes.
Do it good.
Good, very good. I am glad to hear it.
I'm here. Yeah. I just didn't feel fast enough to say hi at the same time as Naomi, so I held my breath and waited. But yes, doing good. Hello,
good.
Hello to both of you.
Very good. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Beautiful one at that.
It was nice here, too.
It was nice here for a few hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened is within, like, 4 hours, we went from 54 degrees and sunny to 16 degrees and snowing.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's kind of crazy. That otter, is that how you pronounce that otter? That otter that you saw must have ran for cover.
Long tail.
Well, already established she's nothing but a liar, so don't be excited by that. Punxsutawney Phil. He lives in my state. Just thought I'd share that with you. He's a mess. But, yes. Well, Pam, you can now tell everyone you had two seasons in the same day.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I'm going to be quiet. Who's going to tell us about tonight's show?
Well, we have two carryovers from The Little Woman that were added onto the board that we're going to get done. And then we're going to go into the head and heart contest, which I put up, which is by the art of Jackie Gerritsen. And my gracious, I'm telling you guys, this woman, I didn't, you know, as I was going over her work, I was saying, no, that's not from her. That can't be. That's a completely a different style. You know, she has so much material. Oh, my gracious. It's classified underneath, you know, different emotions or different themes. And, you know, from one style to the other, well, you see it in the prompts. It's completely crazy. Like, she's all over the place. There's no, line, you know. You know, usually you see in an artist a common thread there that unifies her style. But her, my gracious, she goes from one extreme to the other, and you know, there's so much material I could do, like I don't know how many other shows just on her material. And she's from Amsterdam. She's a photographer at the beginning, and an autodidact artist from Amsterdam. And she mainly makes photo montages in a magical, realistic, and sometimes surreal style. Her works are intuitive. They have a conceptual aspect about them. And her work is primarily a visualization of an idea or an emotion. And she surrenders to how she feels at a given moment or what interests her socially. And then she tries to visualize this in her work. And, you know, it's so, you know, it goes from, like, almost, like, black and white to so, so colorful. It's imaginative. It's inspiring, I find. And often it sweeps the viewer, you know, not only into a visual journey, but also an emotional and also like a spiritual one, you know, because you'll see from some of the rites, you know, they're very emotional. They have this spiritual aspect that they picked up from her work. And also I had quotes up too. I have to say that. I had these awesome quotes that I found, and I put it throughout the artwork. So, you know, some chose the artwork, some chose the quotes, but we have a great lineup of poetry for tonight for sure on the board. I was really pleasantly, not surprised, because we always have so much talent in LNP, but I mean, I was pleasantly happy, you know, with the rites. I was very, I really enjoyed reading them earlier today.
Very nice.
So, do you start on the show?
Pam, are you there?
What's that?
I said, are you there?
I am, yes.
Okay.
Did you say my name?
Not until I asked you if you were there.
Well, I meant, did you say my name before you said, Pam, are you there?
No. No, I didn't. Never mind. Apparently. I'm going to keep my corner, keep my mouth shut.
Well, just to let you know, Naomi, before we move to the next, the first poem, that Zach has joined us. So welcome, Zach. Glad you could join us.
Hello.
Welcome, Zach. Hi. Glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Great. And since you're here, Zach, I'm going to put you to work right away. You're going to read the first poem for us. And it's by Jaskaran, and it's Ace Against Odds. And this is one of the carryovers written to one of the quotes by Little Women. So whenever you're ready, Zach.
Ace Against Odds by Jaskaran. I have been through hell, seen a lot of failure. I was bullied upon, but hid my tears, which led to feeling depression. I lacked a confident tone. Words failed me. I was losing out sleep, my most prized possession. My world was tearing apart and went into a state of depression. I lost my memory and ability to learn in bipolar disorder. I kept studying hard, trying to recollect by rehearsing the lessons on recorder. I had mood swings, lashed outbursts at my family and friends, hurting their feelings like a burning coal powder. 7 months later, I was diagnosed with Wilson's disease. I had swallowing difficulty, problem in walking. My mind became numb and freeze. I said, I'm a fighter. Can't lose hope. I hid my pain. Spread joy and happiness around, giving a new lease of life to everyone like trees. God saw my patience and endurance, gifted me an elixir to help fight the disease. Today, I write great poetry, and it affects people's lives the day of its release. The once unknown poetry gave me recognition and fame. My stars are shining now, and I am setting an example. Never get dejected by failures. Your persistence will work on the world like a flame. God has a beautiful plan for everyone and uncanny ways to make us an inspiration. Life will give you many puzzles. Have faith in God and yourself. Leave behind a legacy in your autobiography by solving every equation. End poem.
Awesome, read there, Zach. And Jaskaran wrote the prompt by Louisa May Alcott in her book, I Am Not Afraid of Storms, for I'm Learning to Sail My Ship. And, you know, what a wonderful, inspirational write on overcoming the odds, you know, overcoming sicknesses, and, you know, just being a real fighter. And, you know, Jaskaran he seems to be like such a sweet person, such a caring person. And, you know, he writes awesome poetry. And I think this is an awesome write to that prompt. Just, you know, inspiring to all. And very moving, and it has a spirituality to this rite too, you know, and you're giving your faith into God and, that he'll be there and help you, you know, through your hardships, be at your side. So just a wonderful poem all the way through. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, this is amazing. It's a powerful and emotive lines on overcoming a challenge and finding the blessings in a difficult situation. And I like how he shares a part of his life with us. And I thought this was great inspiration from the prompt. I am not afraid of storms, for I am learning to sail my ship. And I really liked his attention to detail in this and how much he shared. But I especially like, I said, I am a fighter, can't lose hope. I hid my pain, spread joy and happiness around, giving a new lease of life to everyone like trees. God saw my patience and endurance, gifted me an elixir to help fight the disease. Today I write great poetry and affect people's lives the day of its release. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Oh, yeah, for sure. wonderfully well written. I really like the line also, never get dejected by failures. Your persistence will work on the world like a flame. That's very powerful and very uplifting. And what did you think, Phil?
I think that this is just a wonderful piece, beautifully written, well expressed, and full of so much faith. And excellent writing, as he does all the time. And he's touching many hearts with his work. I find that to be, you know, what Jaskaran always does. I picked up here 7 months later, I was diagnosed with Wilson's disease. I had swallowing difficulty, problem in walking. My mind became numb and froze. I said, I am a fighter. I can't lose hope. I hid my pain. And I took it all the way down to the once unknown poetry gave me recognition and fame. My stars are shining now, and I am setting an example. Never get dejected by failures. Your persistence will work on the world like a flame. He's wonderful. He words things wonderfully. He gives us a great sense of emotion and thoughts in his work. So excellent job, Jaskaran, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Great piece.
So well said there, Phil, for sure. And what did you think, Zach, the piece you just read?
I thought it was great. I thought it was gave voice to a lot of struggles, and like it talked about like the nature of struggle and how to overcome various struggles, I think, through the lens of the speaker. And I think a lot of people can relate to struggles such as depression, losing memory. Even some people relate to bipolar. That's more common than most people might think. Mood swings and all that. And I don't know much about Wilson's disease, but that seems like its own kind of pain for sure. It was just really well done all the way through. It gave putting the faith and the human spirit to kind of overcome it, adversity, I guess, through the power of God's help as well. So I thought that was really cool. Overall, it was really well done.
Great comment there, Zach. Amazing. Yeah, amazing write by Jaskaran here. And I have our second carryover from Little Woman Up. It's called Dear Joe by Cecilia Crane. And Pam, yeah, if you want to go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Sure. Dear Joe, as a child, I was left largely to amuse myself alone. For those were times without TV, just radio and books to read. But I soon learned that books were my magic carpet, the means by which my adventurous spirit could be freed. They were my key to that castle in the air, and words I soon discovered were the key they unlocked, the images from inside my mind, and allowed my imagination to roam, to fly free. Joe, you are my heroine. You, that tomboy eternal, that indomitable spirit that flew and soared so high. Your space up there in the attic was my space as well, the launching pad from which my spirit rocket could fly. I learned to walk the lonely lanes in the woods. I learned to look for the hawk hovering in the sky. I learned to smell the bluebell and the lily pure and white, and watch the starling murmurations crowd the sky. I learned to listen to the tap, tap, tapping of the beetle working its way around the wall. I learned to open my eyes to watch the blue lightning flash and to hear the foxes mating with their call. So much I owe to you, dear Joe, you who cut your hair, my envy short, you who never hurt another but cared for so many, you who never sold another short. Dear Joe, I thank you now from the bottom of my heart. You were my teacher, wise and bold and free, and I always swore that when I grew to be a woman that I would follow you, and thus would set my spirit free. End poem.
amazing read, Pam, and, you know, what a great tribute, right, to, you know, a character. You know, she's writing this letter to Joe, the character, the main character in the book Little Woman, and, you know, she's telling Joe how she basically, how she impacted her life as the character of Joe and all the four sisters, you know, it impacts the life of so many young women that read their book, that book. And, yeah, you know, this, I relate to this a lot. I didn't have TV at the house either. Well, not because TVs didn't exist, but because, you know, because of religion, you know, that was, we weren't allowed TVs in the house. And so I have nothing but the books, you know, in my house. So it was a blessing in a way because, you know, I learned to read rapidly, above, you know, so well. You know, I was reading by the age of five or, you know, even. And, you know, so just taking me, I can relate so much, you know, when she says the magic books were my magic carpet, the means by which my adventurous spirit could be freed. Yeah, you know, you just hopped into a book and there you soared away to places and visited and came to know all kinds of people. And yeah, you know, it's just wonderful where books can take you. And yeah, I really, really enjoyed this write. You know, she really zeroed in on Joe's character and yeah, all that you know, she was. And I liked when she that stands, I learned to walk the lonely lanes in the woods. I learned to look for the hawk hovering in the sky. I learned to smell the bluebell and the lily pure and white and watch the starling's murmurations crowd the sky. And the following stanza, too. Yeah, you know, when you read those descriptions in the book, you become aware, I think, more of your surroundings, you know, to what to look for. And, you know, it opens your eyes, I find, reading does. It opens your imagination. So a very beautiful write this is. And what did you think, Phil?
I thought this was a great piece. Now let me find out what I said. Hang on, I lost it somewhere. I'm only kidding. It's right here. You know, I thought it was a great write, and I've learned a lot about the character just from this write. And I loved that. I loved that she wrote it in a letter form, because I thought that made it almost personal in a way. So, I took the last two stanzas here. So much I owe to you, dear Joe. You who cut your hair. My envy short. You who never hurt another, but cared for oh so many. You who never sold another short. And then, you know, the final stanza. Dear Joe, I thank you. Thank you now from the bottom of my heart. You're my teacher, wise and bold and free. I always swore that when I grew to be a woman, that I would follow you, and thus would set my spirit free. I thought it was just a well done piece. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was, absolutely. Yeah, so true. Wonderful comment there, Phil. And Zach, what did you think?
I thought it was wonderful as well. It would be nice to be able to grow up on solely radio and books, I imagine. A little bit more, a little less cacophony. Kind of using words to allow imagination. Instead of images from like television, and I loved how it was basically an ode to Joe, the tomboy-ish character of Little Women, too. I haven't read the book, of course, but it does remind me the character of the adolescent girl from Bridge to Terabithia. That kind of like I had a similar connection to that. Character as that character from that same book, but that's kind of what I was thinking. I wasn't really thinking that too much about Little Women. Of course, I've never read it, but maybe it could be a sign to read it. So thank you very much. It was well done.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Zach. And, yeah, wonderful read. And did I ask you, Pam? No.
I don't think you did. No. No.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was a wonderful write. I liked how she wrote it in letter form, and she wrote to a character that she could relate to. That's something she connected with. And not only was it about her connection with the character, it was about all that she learned, how she learned from this character, how to observe the simple moments in life. So, wonderful write and very well done. And just to let you know, Jody has joined us. So welcome, Jody. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Jody.
Good evening.
Welcome, Jody. Glad to have you. And did you hear the last poem, Jody? Or
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, I was listening.
Yeah, it was
a very well written poem. I've never read the book myself, but you could just get the sense, you know, how, you know, it does capture the power of books. The balance and imagination that books unleash, especially during childhood. I thought it was a great tribute to the influence of literature. It helps shape kids' character and perspective on the world when they're growing up. It did for me, so it resonated in that aspect for sure.
Great comment, Jody. And, great write by Cecilia, for sure. And so we're going to go on to the first, the rights of my contest that I put up. And Phil, if you want to go ahead and read Dark and Doris for us, Once a Beauty.
Sure.
Have it up there.
I'm working on it. Did you put it up a few minutes ago, or did you just put it up?
No, maybe it was covered up.
Oh, here it is. I found it. It's buried. Okay, no problem.
Hey.
But Once a Beauty by Dark and Doris. It's a neat picture. Once a beauty rose, now cut and wilted, open blooms bursting, black insidious blood, no tears left to cry, silent smirk and shadows. Wrapped in lingered love, strangled by the darkness. Images invade my mind, awakening arteries pulsating, full of listless life, craving an endless end, intoxicating aroma of everlasting death. From bud to blooming flower, cycle of life complete, losing color fading, rigid crumbled now deceased. A new beauty will rise. Perhaps she will not be cut. Her tears will be of joy, gleeful giggles in the dark, wrapped in lasting love, caressed by moonlight. Effigies echo in her mind, lighting a fire in her heart, invigorated with life, craving all it has to offer. She wants to live, not just be alive. End poem.
Wonderful read, Phil. And you know what I really liked about this poem, you know, of course, Dark and Doris, she's known for her rhyming, you know, and she writes in her AN, she, you know, was trying something new here, trying to make myself not rhyme, and she's low, and, you know, but this is just amazing, oh my gracious, for a first attempt at not rhyming. And I love, because, you know, I read the bold print all the way down, just the bold print, and it makes a poem. And, you know, it's like there's two poems here in one. And that's just amazing, you know. That's just so uniquely creative. And and such an emotive life, you know, wanting to live, not just be alive. And, you know, I get that, you know, sometimes, you know, you just go through the motions of breathing and being, you know, and living, and you're not really, making the most of every moment that there is. But just the imagery all the way through in this poem, and the emotion, especially the emotion, so well done. And the metaphors, too, of the rose. You know, once a beauty rose, now cut and wilted, open blooms burst in black, acidious blood. You know, it's like more cheerful on one side, and then you have the darkness on the other side. Just really an amazing, amazing ride here. And what do you think, Pam?
You know, I have to say, I like the same thing you did, how there was two poems in one. I thought that was very clever. And it's like that inner struggle between the darkness and the light. And really just a beautiful imagery and metaphors throughout, and wonderful write on finding the power within oneself to want to live. So very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderful comment there, Pam. And Jody, our new guy, what did you think, my dear?
Yeah, I enjoyed how the form was written. I would have totally went left column to right column, so I'm glad I didn't have to read that one. That's been tough to keep up. He must be a Gemini. Aren't they of two minds?
Yeah, yes, they are.
No, it's Pam. Yes,
yeah,
they are.
I enjoyed how he explored the life and death, you know, from the initial beauty of blooming flowers to the eventual decay. You know, that did a great job of mirroring the cycle of life in this one. Yeah, definitely had a contrast between, the wilted blooms and then the potential for new growth. You know, definitely reflected on the fragility and resilience of life, too. Very well done.
Well said there, Jody. And Zach, what did you think?
I thought it was really cool. Quite a poem about decomposition and finding beauty in, like, the life stream out of these living flowers. And also, I really like the giggling children that were personified. And it seems to be very chilling to me. Very dreamlike, surreal, and kind of like an interesting call and response with the dividing form. And the flowers, the dead flowers, kind of have a grotesque and dead beauty on their own. And, like, I don't know, it kind of reminded me of kind of gothic, too, like one of the my favorite Rolling Stones songs, Dead Flowers, Up in Sticky Fingers. It really reminded me of that, too. So I thought, it was just really cool imagery all the way through, really well done, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Amazing, right? And Phil, your thoughts.
Oh, you know, I thought it was an excellent piece. When I started to read it, yeah, and I know I didn't carry or pull it off, but it made me want to speak in full voice when I read the last sentence, and it made me want to drop down to almost a whisper when I spoke the right-hand side. It just seemed like that was, like, the best way. You know, some of the words were just in your mind. And I wish I could have pulled it off better, but I think that would be really a cool way to hear it. I'm just not as creative as some, so I have to say I'm sorry.
That's a great observation.
Yeah, and I think that it really, I thought her try for something new was very well done. I loved just the way it was put together and the thoughts thereof. So I thought it was a clever piece and nicely done, Christine, and thank you so much for sharing with us. Great job.
Absolutely. Wonderful share for tonight. Thank
mm-hmm.
you so much. And Jody, I have your piece up next, my dear, so go ahead and give it a read for us.
All righty. Let's see. Here we go. Man's Will. Beneath a weight unseen but felt is a silent battle where darkness dwells. A figure, bent not broken, holds aloft his burden, a translucent globe so soft. In the realm of gray, there's no sun, no rain, yet the struggle's etched deep in invisible chain. A mind encased in crystal clear, reflecting a world that's far yet near. With every fiber a story told of battles fierce and warriors bold. Yet this warrior sits in a silent plea, hunched under the weight of a phantom sea. The globe, a mirror of thoughts within, a swirling storm of what might have been. The figure's back, a canvas bare, with streaks of trials of wear and tear. This is the art of the inner fight, where every dawn is overcast by night. Muscles ripple with unseen force as the soul steers an uncharted course. Here, in the quiet before the fray, the spirit whispers, where there's a will, there's a way. For in the struggle, there's more than pain. There's a hope of a lesson gained. A visage hidden from tiring eyes holds a gaze that's wise beyond the skies. The burden is heavy. It's one that will be carried until the day his body is buried. So behold the picture of silent strife, a timeless snapshot of inner life. This moment captured a man's quest to never surrender, to always give his best. In the struggle, there's strength untold, and a resolve that turns the meek to bold. For through the weight that bends the back lies a man's power to counterattack. Thus, in the silence, his roar rings loud, poised and determined to make his family proud. In this image lies the truth we can all take. The purest beauty lies in the struggle to bend but not break. End poem.
Wonderful read and write, Jody. And, bravo on capturing that. You know, I can see the prompt that you chose without even, seeing it. I know which one it was. And, like I said, before the show, well, not before the show, when the show started, there's emotion that runs through the artwork of this artist, and you pulled out all the meaning, I think, from the prompt and all the almost the purity that laid inside that prompt. And I loved through the weight that bends the back lies a man's power to counterattack. And then there was another one. Where was it? The burden is heavy. It's one that will be carried until the day his body is buried. It's so true, And then the last sentence, the purest beauty lies in the struggle to bend but not break. Yeah, you can go through struggles that bend you, and, you have to bend in life. You have to know when to bend, but you don't have to break. But you have to bend a bit. And, to counterattack, like you say, to face those storms, to face those trials in life, you can bend, but you don't have to, you can, as long as you don't break. And you get up and you're stronger from the trials that you went through. So wonderful, wonderful, right, all the way through. And so, that almost has a spiritual touch to it, a great message of wisdom in here, and, very relatable to so many and so beautifully well written. So wonderful, right, Jody, all the way through. And what did you think, Zach?
I thought it was an amazing write. I was reminded when he was holding the burden aloft, I was reminded of Atlas or something like Sisyphus. I was really engaged throughout, and with the rhyme and the meter, and it also had like an epic feel to it, with like a heroic quality, like something like the Odyssey or the Iliad, and it just brought to mind like the man's quest to be resilient and to never give up and never surrender, and there's like a very like defiant, righteous tone, but not self-righteous, which I appreciated because it's selfless and it's for the strength of the family rather than the self. So I thought that was really well done, Jody.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, man.
I like that, you know, the resilience. And you have to be resilient, you know, to face life today. And, you know, any time, not just today, but, you know. So great comment there, Zach. And Pam, what did you think?
Oh, I thought this is absolutely wonderful. Great rhyme and flow, brilliant imagery and metaphors. It was really an excellent write on the strength and endurance that built when we face not only the battles of what's going on around us, but the inner battles as well. And amazing lines all the way through. But I especially like, here in the quiet before the fray, the spirit whispers, where there's a will, there's a way. For in the struggle, there's more than pain. There's the hope of a lesson gained. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Pam. And feel your thoughts.
Well, I thought it was an excellent piece, Jody. Absolutely. I was, I was like talking in the room. My bad. I think you did a fabulous job with this. Let me see what I wrote, because I've said it much better in print. I said it was a fabulous piece, wonderfully expressed. A glimpse of men from a man's perspective. And I thought you had excellent imagery throughout. I grabbed your last three stanzas, and I really enjoyed this piece. I think you did a fabulous job with it. And really, really well done. Absolutely.
Thank you. Appreciate you all's comments.
Absolutely. That was a great piece. Something about hearing it in a man's voice makes such a, to me, makes a difference in a lot of things. And a lot of times a man's perspective is so much different. You know, it's not frilly, it's not curly, it's not cute. You know, if a woman speaks about a man, there's a touch of like, oh, he's so, you know, whatever. When a man speaks of a man, he speaks differently. And there's a different element there that I have always admired in a lot of people's writing, but it's not something you see every day. So, yeah, I always appreciate that. So, great job. Maybe I'll be quiet now. But
absolutely. It was wonderful to hear that in your voice, Jody, and, you know, all the... The meaning, I get what Phil's saying, you know, the meaning is just so much more profound and significant in a way, you know, when it's in your own, and when it's in your voice. And if it would have been, you know, one of us that would have read it, you read it in a way that it made it all the more meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And is Dex with us?
He is.
He is. It's all hi, Dexter.
Hey, glad I could be here.
Hey, welcome to the show. And since you just arrived, did you happen to hear Jody's poem?
Yeah, actually, I kind of have a strong opinion on this piece. You know, I think that this was a masterful piece, and I think that this actually has a lot to do, you know, unfortunately men have like a 4 or 5 times higher, you know, suicide rate and everything than women, because of this man's will. Right, or because of what our idea is of what a man should be, there's all of these things that are stacking against everything, and when they don't come out to plan, or you know, there's an ego that is very much miffed. And I thought this was an incredible piece about how we would like it, you know, and also too, like it says here, in the struggle, your strength untold that resolves. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of men that didn't make it to the next chapter in this book, and I thought that this was a unbelievable write.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. You know, men don't show, often don't show their vulnerability, and you know, they're, so they don't talk about what's bothering them. I think that's why, you know, a lot of them just, they commit suicide. They get to that point where they're so depressed because they're not, they don't, you know, it's not, they have in their mind that it's not manly to talk about the their problems to other people, I guess. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah, so, yeah, the that in that way, your piece was very, very significant, Jody. So thank you so much. And, Dexter, I'm going to put you to work right away. I have a piece up on the board if you want to go ahead and give it a read, by M.J. Donnelly.
Okay, and this is called I Crackle at the High Frequency. There are the days when I curse afternoon sunlight, bright and revealing. If it wasn't for the house plants, I'd draw the shades, collect dust, a fleshy knick-knack in gray shroud. My windows stand embarrassed, fouled by winter's buntum. A box elder bug crawls across my ceiling. I imagine its eyes on me, fear burning like acid in its throat. Pain, sorrow, anger, lust, all are partially buried up to the neck in glass jars with lids visible along my mind's path. I've loved like nobody else existed. I would have dipped my chained hands in molten lava to free myself, just to caress my love's breasts with scarred stumps. I've raged with the fury of Viking's berserker. Slashed and bruised, tears of blood streaming, screaming with teeth barred, breath hot as nuclear fission, end poem.
Oof, what a powerful write, you know, what an emotive write, my gracious. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, yeah, this definitely was a powerful and emotive write. Brilliant visceral imagery and metaphors. I like how it speaks to me on the idea of the memories that come flooding back and dig up those old emotions. I really like, I've loved like nobody else existed. I would have dipped my chained hand in molten lava to free myself just to caress my love's breast with scarred stumps. You know, the pain that love puts us through. So amazing write and very well done.
And he wrote to the prompt, the quote that was the most written to in the entire contest. Many writers chose this prompt. And the quote was, it is both a blessing and a curse to feel everything so very deeply. And, you know, he really, really attacked that prompt and did it justice. And Jody, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was a really well-written piece here. You know, he definitely delved into deep, raw emotions in this one. You know, pain, longing, struggling. Thought his willingness to confront them intense emotions, you know, even if it meant grappling with fear and pain, you know, added a layer of complexity to the narrative of the overall piece. definitely like a haunting portrayal of inner conflict, you know, a capacity to be both vulnerable and resilient, just like we were talking about. As a my poem, some men aren't vulnerable. Yeah, I thought he did a great job with that. It was nice to hear that read. Well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really liked, you know, the part of the poem that I liked about this, and it made it so raw and real and authentic, is the part with the bug crawling across the ceiling. You know, I imagine its eyes on me, fear burning like acid in its throat. So, you know, it's like, he, you know, a metaphor for how he's feeling himself. I think, you know, he's reflecting his own emotions on that bug that's crawling across the ceiling, you know, which made the poem really, really so much more powerful. And what did you think, Zach?
Oh, I thought it was tremendous. Cursing that afternoon sun to retreat into the grays and blacks of the room, kind of like focusing on the scenery of it. And it brought to mind something like maybe from like with the cluttered arrangement and the numerous bottles and cans, just like something from Hoarders, and like really visceral imagery taking place throughout the confines of this room. Kind of brought to me mind the way my grandfather used to live before he died. He was schizophrenic, and he drank himself to death in a cabin in Pennsylvania. Basically, he lost his grip on reality over and over again. He became a shell of his former self, unfortunately. But it doesn't seem like this person is going through this quite, like the same thing. But then again, I mean, it doesn't exactly have a peaceful resolution to it, so I can't say that for certain. So it just brought to mind that. So it was very well written.
Yeah, great comment there, Zach. And Phil, your thoughts? Hello, Phil? Oops.
Did it, and I didn't even remember I done did it. But I'm back. I thought this was a great piece by M.J. Donnelly. It was emotions were well expressed throughout, and had great imagery. I had one stanza out of two, but Pam took it, so I went back up another one. I thought, if it wasn't for the house plants, I draw shades and collect dust, a fleshy knickknack in gray shroud. Thank God he appreciated the houseplants. That's what I got to say. He showed concern for them, and I like that. Something about it was a touch of kindness in his heart for the houseplants, you know, in the right. And I thought that was an interesting spot there. My windows stand embarrassed, fouled by winter sputum. A box elder bug crawls across my ceiling. I imagine its eyes on me. Fear burning like acid in its throat. They were just two stanzas that really stood out a bit. You know, it had nothing to do with, it was something outside of him that he focused on in those two stanzas, and I thought it was well done. So great job, M.J. Donnelly. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, a very powerful write.
Mm-hmm.
And Dex, you read it so wonderfully. What did you think?
I agreed a lot with what Phil had said. You know, pain, sorrow, anger, lust, all partially buried up to the neck. What that's telling me is that, you know, all of these things have been buried, right, but except for your brain, which is one that is a very important factor in this whole thing. You know, your brain and your rest of your body can get into an absolute war. And I feel like that's what's happening in this piece, because I feel like your heart could be like, I'm done. Let's just say, quote unquote, cheating on your wife or something or whatever. You know, I'm done doing that. My heart doesn't feel that. Well, your brain can also click on to different times and choose different paths. So I just think that this is a very great depiction of an inner battle and a war that's happening in this place.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Dick. And I have our next poem up. It's Into the Mist by Aaron Panther, and we do have a SoundCloud for that one.
Into the Mist, This Heart Will Fly by Aaron Panther. Tangled in the web of promises I made to myself, but loneliness will never again be the only breast left to bear. Yet here I am in the wake of another failure, drawn in and deceived by false virtues. The net tightens with every sacrifice of idle thoughts, where freedom used to frolic and sanity wasn't trapped inside the mirror. No embrace hits colder than ignorant shoulders. Confined to a belief that oneself is more important than every other. Moments cascade like falling leaves, yet still there's no escape from the feeling. Trust will be forever ensnared, and love can only exist on the wings of a distant butterfly. End poem.
Wow, what powerful finish, eh? And love can only exist on the wings of a distant butterfly. Something so bittersweet about this poem, so nostalgic. My gracious, just again the emotions so powerful in this poem. What did you think, Jody, about this, right?
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it definitely captured the. Struggle between, you know, self-imposed promises and the reality of loneliness and disappointment. You know, it's very hauntingly powerful almost throughout. Probably had a sense of yearning and resignation for freedom, you know, this feeling being trapped. That final line, you can almost even hear in his voice, you know, a longing for love and trust. Thought it highlighted the whole poem, you know, the fleeting nature of both love and trust. I enjoyed that. It was a nice write. Very well done.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wonderfully well composed. Wonderful comment, Jody. And Zach, your thoughts?
I thought it was a fantastic, like, a cry against loneliness that is somehow stifled in the midst of failure. And there's, like, a claustrophobic feel of like tightening, of being ensnared and trapped, and then being taken away by the butterfly. It almost seems miraculous, and that would even exist, like a deus ex machina. But it's just very like well done, kind of. It's like a way to like kind of wish something that could happen that really can't. That's like kind of outside the speaker's control. So. I thought that was a really cool way to end a well-written poem.
Great comments, Zach. And Dexter, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this was a great read about almost becoming like becoming engaged with somebody. I thought it was when you talk about I made myself. That loneliness that will never be again. To me, that almost initiates the thought of becoming engaged or, you know, becoming one with somebody. Yet here I am in the wake of another failure, drawn and deceived. And then it continues to go. No embrace gets colder. I think that to me that this incites, or that this feels like somebody becoming engaged, or somebody that's becoming committed with somebody, that is almost like feeling like this is the end of the line, where like this is like I'm no longer going to be hurt. And then in the next coming months that's not going to be the case. And so I feel like this is a love gone far astray. So very well done.
Great observation there, Dexter. And Pam, your thoughts?
Oh my goodness, yeah, this has amazing imagery and metaphors. Really a heartfelt and emotive write on that longing for truth, trust, and love, and finding yourself faced over and over again with being let down. I really like, yet here I am in the wake of another failure, drawn in and deceived by false virtues. It can be so easy for people with a narcissistic type personality to put on that show and deceive people. I also really like, no embrace hits colder than ignorant shoulders confined to a belief that oneself is more important than every other. Great lines and very well done.
Absolutely. Well said there, Pam. Not a great write for sure. And Phil, your thoughts?
Well, you know, I thought this was an excellent piece by Scott, wonderfully penned. And I thought it was a fabulous take on the prompt, because when you read the prompt, it's, all my life, my heart has sought a thing I cannot name. That's a hell of a search, you know. You can't name it, and you're looking for it. It just seems to be, like, borderline impossible. And I think his poem was kind of wrote that line, you know. I took tangled in the web of promises I made to myself that loneliness will never again be the only breath left here to bear. Yet here I am in the wake of another failure, drawn in and deceived by false virtues. But those lines were pretty incredible. So wonderful job, and you know, thank you so much, Scott, for sharing with us. Nicely expressed.
Absolutely wonderful, right? And wasn't Scott due for a surgery today, I think, or was it yesterday?
I thought it was this afternoon.
So anyway, in the group room, I think he was talking about it, I think I saw it. And, so, you know, we wish you all the best and hope, you know, a speedy recovery on that, for sure. And thank you so much for writing for us. Wonderful, wonderful, powerful write. And I have our next write up, and Pam, if you want to go ahead and give it a read for us.
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. The open mind is a nest by creatistically inclined. Unlearn the wrongs the world has taught. Sop up the mess built in your brain. Scour, scrub, till what remains are cobweb shadows of a stain. Carve and hollow out your skull. Scoop and scrape and pick and rake around the rind, near the blind spots of your mind. Loosen sticky, stringy fibers. Ladle, pour, and dip some more. Gritty globs of wet pink heaps. Fling any useless wads you find. Leave no black seeds left behind. First impressions, ignorance, inhibition, and learning hate, let them all evaporate. Root canal your memories until you hear and feel the scrapes of steel on ice that is your bone. A vacuum chamber, now your skull, and finally when the last raw throbs of recollection streak and fade numbly down your spine like the brushing of soft cotton twine, take comfort that you'll soon be fine. With the slurry in your head now clear, leave off your lid. Feel open air, then cram and stuff, and tamper down your fleshy, bony basin with mounds of freshly moistened mud, crispy twigs and sprigs of paper, frays of string become a nest where thoughts can sing. Let musings winter in your mind, keep them warm until the spring. They'll gift you with ideas they lay, soon plans will hatch and fly away. A lovely cycle, how knowledge spreads, it all begins inside our heads. End poem.
What another powerful, well-written, right, my gracious, you know, about just, you know, that cycle of going around and around and inside your head till you, you know, you come out, I guess, with a, you know, you come out with a, you know, the better, better from it, you know. I just like the stanza there. Well, the beginning sentence is root canal your memories until you hear and feel the scrapes of steel on ice that is your bone, a vacuum chamber now your skull. Oh my gracious, you know, those send shivers up and down my arms. Those words are so powerful. What did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I thought it was a great poem on, you know, transforming the journey of self-discovery and growth in our life. You know, urging us to unlearn societal constructs that and been ingrained in us since we were kids. I mean, they start on us early, some of the blocks they put in front of us. But you got to be open-minded and put in the work and, you know, start tearing them blocks down, and then eventually you find yourself at the, you know, journey of self-discovery, and it's a pretty cool place to be. You know, I thought it definitely emphasized open-mindedness and fostering personal and intellectual development in one's life. Yeah, very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. A wonderful comment. Yes. Yeah, indeed. You know, from a young age, we're like beaten on, you know, with all these beliefs and these values and this way of thinking, and whether it's from our parents or our teachers or, you know, whatever, whoever, and, you know, before we become our own person, it takes a lot of work sometimes. What did you think, Zach?
I thought it was a tremendous way to, like, unlearn the wrongs that kind of society kind of beats into you by really cleaning up the grotesque goop that kind of builds up. That the poem entails, like, and it speaks to the strength of letting go some of the past barriers of ignorance, first impressions, inhibitions, and learned hate. And there's quite a lifting weight off the shoulders, and it spoke to kind of like a hell of a series of changes over the course of a well-written narrative piece, and it just kind of like the whole was greater than the sum of its parts, I thought, for sure. It was really well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, Zach. And Dexter, your thoughts, my dear.
Well, this one is a tough one for me. You know, I think that what everybody really kind of grasped on was really the truly thing. You know, I think that when you clasp on, you know, where you're at mentally and socially, I think that this is a keep them warm until spring. You know, the idea is, I think this is something that's like really spiking mentally and socially, and so I think that they need to be very well spun. And I think that I would be fully open to giving them a green light on that. But I think that this is a little bit out of my realm. Very well done.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there, not Zach, but Dex. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I found this an extremely intriguing write. It had wonderful imagery and metaphors and strong imagery, but the write throughout most of it was so visceral and so violent, juxtaposed with a positive message of personal growth. And replacing the negative with the positive, that it really offers up a reminder that oftentimes personal change for the better can be an extremely painful process. And I thought this had some great lines all the way through, but I especially like your fleshy, bony basin with mounds of freshly moistened mud, crispy twigs, and sprigs of paper, a phrase of string, become a nest where thoughts can sing. And then the last two stanzas as well, and the idea of that new life that can spring forth from within yourself. So excellent write and very well done.
Wonderfully said, Pam. Great observation. And the next write I have up is by Map 29, and I have no idea where I am in the reading. I think it's Zach. Zach, I'm going to get you to read that one by Map.
Look it up.
Do you have it there, Zach? Enriched Life?
You picked in the wrong room, Naomi.
My gracious.
Yes.
I see it, but I see it.
In the wrong room. I put it in Selena's room. Oh, my gracious. Okay. It's in the right room now.
Alrighty. Alright. Enriched Life by Matt 29. It is both a blessing and a curse to feel everything so very deeply. Weather wounds and enriches trees and plants. We are like this, easily wounded and enriched. A single group of words can strike us down, leaving us wounded and looking for answers, whilst a different set of words cause joy, giving us the lift and raising our self-esteem, encouraging us to continue onwards, allowing our heart to expand with glee, an essence with the right ingredients to be flourish, like snow surviving in cold conditions, whilst melting in hotter temperatures, we unravel without support and nurturing. End poem.
Great words of wisdom by Matt. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. Wonderful words of wisdom. I really like how he opens up with the line, it is both a blessing and a curse to feel everything so very deeply. And then weather wounds and enriches trees and plants. We are like this, easily wounded and enriched. A single group of words can strike us down, leaving us wounded and looking for answers. And I like how those, and it's got great lines all the way through, very heartfelt. But I like how that speaks on the idea of how much words can hurt, and then how much we can, learn to nourish ourselves. So wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with Pam. I like that, too, the analogy of the weather affecting trees and plants. You know, how we too can be wounded by words and experiences. I thought he did a great job emphasizing the importance of nurturing relationships. How, like, the imagery of it flourishing like snow in cold conditions, but unraveling without support know, I thought that was a great reflection on the blessings and challenges of feelings that we have deeply, for sure. I did a great job with that poem. It's a short poem, too, but impactful.
Yes. Wonderfully said there, Jody. And Zach, your thoughts?
I thought that it was amazing. It was short and sweet, of course, a nice, well-written brevity. A very, like, kind of short declarative sentences or, like, lines. It kind of, like, reminded me of Hemingway almost, just simple and direct. And, of course, that word, you know, very powerful tools that could, you know, hurt anyone at any given moment, depending on any number of things that, you know, the person being hurt has, potentially. So, I mean, it's difficult to say the true impact of some words. So it just brings to mind a lot of thoughts like that. So I thought it was really well written, that.
Well said there, Zach. And Dexter, what did you think?
Yeah, you can't help but look at the words of all of this, right? We're talking about what's hurting people, what's making people love, right? What's giving us a raising of self-esteem, encouraging others, going onward. Words are very much encased into this life. And words are very much a part of what can exit you out of this also, too. So I think this is a fantastic piece about feeling. And the overall feeling here is that words are very much a part of our life. So very well done.
Wonderful comment there, Dexter. Wonderful observation. And, I guess, did I get everybody? Yeah, I think so. Jody, will you read the next piece by Gary Rubin for us, please?
Yeah, let me go to the Stillings group real quick and get it. Oh, here it is. I'll just see. here we go. Dawn's early light. Woolly worm, caterpillars, sported terrorist beards. Corn husks wore Coke bottle thick glasses. Autumn's nature seeds and whispers that winter will be harsh. Those woolly caterpillars recall a childhood punished with beatings, anger and alone in my bedroom, peeking out the window curtains, searching the night sky for a better tomorrow. Startled to discover Christmas carolers singing just to me. They shine northern starlight into me. I've kicked back at the winds, my shoreline's gut punched by astronomical tides. Cliffhanger, solitary house, about to lose its grip, ready to be dragged out to sea. Every avenue of hope covered in sheet ice. I searched for a sign on my morning walk. The sun rose to flash a broad smile. Its warmth kissed my cheeks. Oddly absent feelings inched up. Dawn breaks on the dark, emotional sky. They appeared 1 month ahead of schedule. One baker's dozen bluebirds. This avian community dressed in fluorescent cobalt blue feathers. Dancing in celebration of weddings and births. My dog and I freeze in quiet appreciation. Advertisements for hope. Bluebirds sing and dance just for us. End poem.
Wonderfully read there, Jody. And, you know, I really like this poem. Oh, my gracious. He wrote also to the quote, it is both a blessing and a curse to feel everything so very deeply. And, you know, his AN is really interesting, too, where he says, you know, a few days ago after a very dark and difficult winter, I saw 14 or 15 bluebirds. They seemed to dance just for me and my dog, Benson. Another man and his dog seemed oblivious, blinded, like they were invisible to him. It felt like a spiritual message that everything would be all right. And, you know, yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, you capture, there's these moments in time where you have these, like, these, I don't know, it's like a message sent from higher power to you, you know, to tell you something. And what did you think, Pam, about this rite?
Oh, I thought this was just absolutely beautiful. Raw, honest, powerful lines, emotive. I like how he speaks on the message given to him by him and his dog, by nature, and what it feels like to, you know, to have those deep feelings and be caught up in those thoughts of a past, a childhood that's filled with so much pain, and then be able to find comfort, not only in the company of your dog, but also with spending time with nature. And I really like this all the way through, but especially I searched for a sign on my morning walk. The sun rose to flash a broad smile. The warmth kissed my cheeks. Oddly absent feelings inched up. Dawn breaks on the dark emotional sky. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Wonderfully said there, Pam. You're cracking up or something, or you sound like robotic. I don't know. You're not coming through.
Well, you know what? I'll hang up and I'll call right back. So,
okay. And Dexter, what did you think of the right? Mr. Dexter? Are you still with us? I don't know. Well, Zach, what did you think?
What do you need me to do?
To comment. Comment on the last rite, did you?
Well, I thought that this was a lovely piece, especially when talking about the picture that they had picked. There was a certain rhythm to it, almost the woolly caterpillars, the woolly worm, you know, and talking about the winds and the astronomical tides. The fact is that these birds continue to survive and look as beautiful and continue to survive on what is basically dawn's early light. So very well done on bringing us into that moment.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, wonderful comment there. Wonderful observation. And Zach, what did you think?
I thought it was a great piece about like a person who was just like kind of battered and bruised by the ferocious onslaught that life has to give a little bit, like, and it speaks to an abusive childhood with the beatings. But despite this, there's a resilience, such as like kicking against the winds, and there's almost like a sense of almost but not quite being broken. And I guess the bird appearing at the end, that was a really cool way to end it, like a good omen. In a sense that, like, good things are to come. So a real, like, wonderful, heartfelt, optimistic end to a wonderful piece. Well done.
Absolutely. That was a wonderful comment, Zach. And I don't know who I asked. Jody, did I ask you?
No.
Okay.
For me, my first impression was I could see a kid in his room, like blowing on the window and wiping it, seeing his friends walking by with their sleds, about to go hit the hills, and he's grounded to his room, and
agony of that. You know, we only had cell phones back then, so we had to stare at the wall. But but yeah, that's the first thing that came to my mind. But no, as it went on, you could definitely sense, you know, he created a image of woolly worm caterpillars and created a vivid backdrop for the introspection of it. It's a, you know, poignant realization of hope in the form of bluebirds. And, for me, the way I was taking it, you know, his friends are gone and here comes the bluebirds to look at. But maybe I read that wrong. But.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was cool. I like the poems that take you back to certain times when you're young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a nostalgic feeling about it. That's really enjoyable for sure. A wonderful comment. And do we have Gray with us?
We do, yes.
Okay, he's just in time because he was supposed to read Lou Yu's poem. So I put up Lou Yu's poem. Gray will read it. And Pam, if you want to go ahead and take comments, and I'll be right back.
Sure, no problem.
Okay.
All right, Gray, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Okay, hi, Pam. Hi, Naomi. Hi, Dexter.
Hey,
all right, so we have Enriched Life. Oh, sorry. By Matt, 29.
Gray, you're supposed to be reading Goddess of Hunger Moon Among Howling Hearts by Lou Yu Wild Dove.
Okay, sorry, just 1 second here.
Okay.
I'm not seeing it on the board here. Huh. Oh, sorry. I'm in the wrong group. I apologize. All right, here we go. Goddess of Hunger Moon Among Howling Hearts by Lou Yu Wild Dove. Night stream dye, long locks of silver strains, blood, languid and flowing, pulsing, yearning, veins, native, Irish blendings, raging storms across, Texas, lazy whispers, exhale, heavy sweet intentions, layering sultry warm breezes, awakened letters of your burning syllables, painting signs on my bronze tapestry. Yellow orange fish, blood moon, barbaric pressed kisses, sanguine lips imprisoned in pillaged heartbeats for eternities, waking lashed eyes, burn moccasin stalking, mesquite desert lonely trails, slicing moonlight beams, love's missing pieces. Where are you, beloved? The dreams continue, awakening breaths, twisting, rising, alto howls, stardust lines, ebony lashes, stars drop your aftertaste, lighting your engorged lips, your scent around a tanned neck. Desert moonflowers spread, wolves howl in southwest winds, confessing to my leaking pen. Fangs glisten in pearled moon streams. Fingers trace mountain peaks, pulsing, swooning beautiful breaths. Lovers hunting terrain, heart drops, listening, echoing a joined cry, your darkness. Heavenly melodies as wolves consume. His mouth presses softly on her enchanted star-lined eyelids. Tangled lovers till morn. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Gray, and such a beautiful write by Lou Yu. And Dexter, let's start with your thoughts. Are you on mute, Dexter?
I might as well have been on anything. This is an incredible write. Night shrooms die. Long locks, shiver strains. She's setting the turnip in such a way, you know, native Irish blending, raging storms across Texas, lazy whispers. She's putting herself out there once again in that it's difficult, but it is explained, right? It's difficult to explain yourself in just casual, you know, standpoints, but she's putting herself out there that this is a native situation. This is an incredible right. And I love Luyu, you know, and she is continually push the envelope, and I think that she pushed the envelope on this one for sure. I thought that she did a fantastic job. Very well done.
Oh, absolutely. Great comment. And she wrote to the quote, "I am so full of the moon, wolves keep my heart in a constant state of howling." I thought that was such a perfect quote for Luyu to write to. And Zach, your thoughts?
I thought that was a tremendous way to meld worlds, the Irish and the Texan, kind of like a merging of landscapes. And there's like a surreal and dreamlike state to it for sure. Definitely eerie, wolf-like, sensual, and a keening desire for a lover and finding him waiting and the, I guess, the dream state. So very well written and well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Jody, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought the poem had great, passionate imagery throughout. Thought her, you know, she blended the themes of nature and desire and longing very well. You know, it almost created a mesmerizing atmosphere with her use of sensual language, you know, kind of draws us into the emotional landscape that she was painting in this poem. And then it ends up having, you know, depth and richness added to it with the imagery she used of the moon and the wolves and kind of leaving a haunting impression. It's very well done. Nicely written.
Absolutely. Great comment. And you're right. She does paint a beautiful emotional landscape. So very cool. And Gray, you did a wonderful read of that. Your thoughts?
Sorry, I was muted. You can really feel her native heart in this, right? You know, it speaks of desert and longing and, you know, it's just a beautiful, powerful right. You know, it's so deep and rich in its imagery and its feel. You know, it really pulls you in. Fingers trace mountain peaks, pulsing, swooning beautiful breasts, lovers hunting terrain. Heart drops, listening, echoed, a joint cry, your darkness. You know, I love it. You know, it really has the wolf in her speaking out loud, crying to the night, you know, for her mate to come along. I thought it was beautiful.
It really is. Wonderful comment. Yeah, this has such amazing imagery and metaphors, powerful, heartfelt line. I really enjoy and appreciate how it speaks on the search for that deep and true love, guided by the inner moonlight. I really like desert moonflowers spread, wolves howl in southwest winds, confessing to my leaking pen, fangs glisten in pearled moon streams. Wonderful lines and very well done. And are you back with us, Naomi?
Yes, just in time to hear you read this exact same stanza I was going to read.
Oh.
And you know, when I put up this quote and this picture, I really saw Lu Yu in this. You know, for some reason, the wolf and everything and the howling. And, you know, I was hoping that she would grasp this quote and write to it, and she did. And I think, you know, it captures so much of what Lu Yu is, you know, her native, you know, mixing, like she says, she's part, you know, Native American with her Irish background, you know, and mixing together there. I just love that stanza. And all the way through, the layering, sultry, warm breezes, awaking letters of your burning syllables, painting signs on my bronze tapestry. And, you know, she really picks up the moon there, you know, the yellow, orangish blood moon. And, you know, this is such a beautiful piece, but there's such a, you know, like Lu Yu, you wouldn't have a piece without having, you know, a stream of sensuality pour from it. And there, it is very sensual all through. You feel the sensuality, but you also feel like the spiritual also, and then come out of it. And, you know, the deep emotion. And like you said, Pam, I know that's just pouring out with brilliant metaphors and imagery all the way through. Very, you know, motive piece, and so describes, you know, Lu Yu. And I was looking at the comments, and she said she was on a dry spell. She didn't have any, you know, she wasn't writing for a while. And she said that when she saw this this quote, it brought out her her inspiration there, her creative juices started to flow. So really happy, Lu Yu, that you started writing it, you know, wrote to that quote. Thank you so, so much. A wonderful, wonderful write for tonight. Amazing. And so thank you. And yeah, so we're gonna. Yeah, that was an amazing write, and I had to find the room again, Jody, after writing in place the poem here. Okay, I got it. Okay, so the next write we have up is by Eric Svensson, and we do have a SoundCloud for that one.
Horse and carriage, frivolous filly heart, gleefully gallop, sure mare trots at leisurely pace, sure-footed stallion canters, waylaid gelding wistfully walks, heart-whisperer's horse around, respond to humans coming for beach rides, spontaneous assessment of each saddled rider, stricken fear brings out equine sensitivity, gaucho bravado embraced with gusto, horses heal hearts broken by carriage minds, caution thrown to the wind, wild steeplechase with all riders they would, intuitive response when they carry a heavy-minded carriage. Such a gelding, they'll walk at leisurely pace. Horse and carriage, marriage of heart and mind. Disparity instinctively picked up by these human whisperers. Head over heels in love, honeymooners come for beach rides. Suddenly, the horses are light-footed, even frivolous. Sentient recognition of two magnetized horseshoe hearts, energized by a coming together. Feather in cap mind may differentiate deliver a scientific discourse. Scepter heart instinctively holds sway. Pretense palisades broken down by quickened pulse. End quote.
Amazing read by Eric Svensson. Thank you so much, Eric, sending in that SoundCloud. So amazing to hear your poetry and your voice. And what an amazing write again from Eric. What did you think, Pam?
Oh, I have to agree. As always, you know, his imagery and metaphors are brilliant and such clever lines. I like how the first line where it says, frivolous filly heart gleefully gallops and mature mare trots at leisurely pace, shows how our way of thinking, you know, can change as we get older. We kind of learn to become a bit calmer and a bit more of an observer. And I like how where he says also horse and carriage, marriage of heart and mind, disparity instinctively picked up these human whispers, head over heels in love. You know, it's funny how falling in love can change our perspective, and how the difference between falling in love at the beginning of a relationship where you both haven't quite matured yet, and then going into a more mature relationship can definitely be a big difference. I also like, though, how it that mentions the idea of how it's so important to use both our heart and our mind when you know, looking for you know, that idea of a relationship with balance. But wonderful, thought-provoking lines, and very well done.
Absolutely, wonderfully said there. Wonderful right to the name of the contest, say, which was head and heart. So, you know, using your head and using your heart here. And Jody, I know you appreciate Eric's writing so much. What did you think, my dear?
Yeah, he's very clever with his way, his writing style. I enjoy listening to him read them too. He must have like a filing cabinet full of just metaphors sitting next to his desk. Just thumbs them right up. I thought it was a wonderful job, you know, capturing a symbiotic relationship between horses and humans. You know, I thought he explored the intuitive bond between the horse and humans, and you know, in a very thought-provoking way that kind of invited the reader to contemplate the interplay between instinct and emotions in our interactions with the horses. It's, you never know what angle he's going to come from when he puts a ride in a contest. So, again, very well done with this one.
Absolutely, he's always he always surprises us and wonderfully too, and he always has a spark of humor in his writes, and you see it in here, you know, the humor. And what did you think, Zach?
I thought it was great. I thought it was very leisurely piece, full of equestrian beauty, and there was like a synchronous arrangement to the tandem placement of both horses, and it brings to mind like the real opulence of a honeymoon, or at least the way a honeymoon should be, the way the structure of the carriage was just laid out and supported by like the horses, and like just brought to mind a very solid foundation to a seriously amazing poem. So well done.
Absolutely, wonderfully said there. And Dexter, what did you think, my dear? Are you still with us, Dexter? Oops. Oh, maybe Dexter.
I think he's falling asleep because he's still on. But he...
Okay. Oh, well, so we'll go on to the... Oh, Gray. Is Gray still there? Okay. What are your thoughts, Gray?
Well, he does a wonderful SoundCloud. His voice is so hypnotizing. You know, he has a certain tone to it that really lulls you to the right. And but I enjoyed that penultimate stanza. Sentient recognition of two magnetized horseshoe hearts energized by coming together. Feather and cap mind may differ. Differentiate. Deliver a scientific discourse. Scepter heart instinctively holds sway. Hence palisades broken down by a quickened pulse. You know, it speaks to that ethereal connection that love has to gap the distance, to gap the rules, to just carry on and carry on, carrying on, and to allow themselves to love regardless of what the world thinks about it. And, yeah, I thought it was beautiful.
Absolutely. Wonderfully said there. Wonderful comment. And, yeah, so I have our next poem up by Fran Marie. You want to read that one, Pam?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Here we go. Heart Overhead by Fran Marie. The mind, she whispers wisely, sees with clarity and firm decision, aware with warning, saying, turn him away, let go. Ah, but the heart she seems to overrule, deep within her private chambers of sleepy warm dreams and moonlight mist, wanting him to stay. Mixed emotions pull at me, manic and twisted, both out of control, trying to reach an agreeable plan. Which head and heart can understand? I can't seem to arrive at what is best. The heart won't let it rest. I'm hopelessly head over heels for my romantic beau, wishing for him to stay, never, never letting him go. End poem.
That was a wonderful read, Pam. And, you know, oh my gracious, so relatable to so many, this poem, you know, the head over the heart, you know. And sometimes, you know, the heart wins out. Sometimes the head, the rational part, which is the head, wins out. But, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're head over heels like this in this case, well, the head takes a journey and, you know, the heart is all there, is all in. And what did you think, Jody?
Yeah, I thought she did a great job, you know, capturing the internal conflict between rational mind and passionate heart. You know, it's a very compelling narrative of the internal struggle. That tug of war that we have, you know, makes you almost empathize with her for the dilemma of grappling with the conflicting feelings in our relationship. So, yeah, I thought she conveyed that point very well. Nicely done.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it came across as very raw and authentic and real, this right, you know, just like it poured out. So very, very... very authentic indeed, like I said. And Zach, what did you think?
I thought it was a great poem, just kind of about the war between the brain and the heart over someone above, and whether or not reason or desire will kind of win this one or not. So I guess a very heart-wrenching decision is supposed to be made here. So I guess it's kind of uncertain what will happen, but that's kind of the point, I think. So I thought it was really well done.
Well said there, Zach. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is definitely a beautiful write. Great rhyme and flow. I like how it speaks on how the heart and the mind are often at conflict with one another. And I especially like mixed emotions pull at me, manic and twisted, both out of control, trying to reach an agreeable plan which head and heart can understand. And that is definitely not the easiest thing to do. So wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. And I don't know if Dex, are you there or are you still asleep? I guess he fell asleep. So Zach, I have your poem up. I'm so sorry. I missed it. You know, I'm so sorry. I should have had it up like a while ago. So go ahead and give it a read, my dear.
Sure. Okay. My February hell, her heavenly haven. February stole my brightest star. He snatched her, my mom, for himself to have, vacating this world and for me to suffer on nights we cannot share with sobs too thick and wide for containment as bombs detonate. I cannot hide the gaping mouth overdosed by supply, stomped underfoot by a wave. Moon beams upon me, her life does not cease. Given to my phoenix rising, I emerge from my hole, illuminating fire, immolated, breeding flame, flicking off our shared carbon from my wings. Golden pollen motes give way to lunar notes. Ravens descend, feeding on carrion past, murder the present, locked in the black whirlwind, screaming bird beak shrieks, pitch darkness upon me, light in her ceases, ashes pile beneath, eyes begin glowing red. The water carries her away, there in her aquamarine, Carolina heaven, her haven, and poem.
Oh, my gracious, Zach. What a powerful write. And Jody, what did you think?
Yeah, Zach, I thought that was a great read and write. You know, I thought you captured the raw emotions of loss and grief throughout in this one. You know, the imagery of February stilling the brightest star, you know, representing the loss of the mother. You know, it's very striking and evocative, right, for sure. I like the metaphor of Phoenix rising from the ashes, you know, showing resilience amidst the suffering. And, you know, contrast between darkness and light, despair and hope. I thought you skillfully, you know, wove that throughout the verses, you know. Definitely left a profound impact on me. I like that. Very well done.
Absolutely. You know, there's so strongness, right? My gracious, the metaphors, like Jody said, ravens descend feeding on carrion past. Wow. You know, and there's so many other ones too, the powerful lines. And, you know, just so sorry for your loss. It's just, you know, it's a personal right, I guess. Do you write personal? And, yeah, so family and death and the loss of a mother, I'm so sorry. And Pam, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a powerful, emotive, and heartfelt write, Zach. I'm glad you're able to share this with us and also to write this for yourself. It's an amazing write on your grief and paying honor to your mother and what she meant to you and what her loss means to you. Amazing lines all the way through. But I especially like the emotional impact of to suffer on nights we cannot share with sobs too thick and wide for containment as bombs detonate. Powerful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. That stanza was really, you know, stood out for me too. And would you like to say anything, Zach, about your poem?
Yeah. It was, like many of my pieces, just true to her. Yeah, it's just, I've written so many of them. I've lost count. It's got to be over 100 by now, and it's just endless. I don't know when it's going to stop or if it will. Probably not. But, yeah, I guess it is what it is. I'm going to continue to write about her, and it's just, I'm glad this month is closing up, so I'll say that much. So thanks, all. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great way to start, you know, to heal, Zach, you know, be able to write about it and share. Wonderful, wonderful, escape and you know, wonderful, a cure to the healing. And I just got word from Aaron Panther, and he says he's in the recovery ward, a little sore, but he's okay. So that's great. And he's listening in. And so I'm going to put up our next rite. And Eye of the Beholder. And Jody, can you go ahead and give that a read for us?
Yeah. Eye of the Beholder. With some trepidation, I ponder the artist's inspiration as I glare at the meld of form and hues. I immerse in each tantalizing strand of imagery. Mindful splashes on a blank medium begging to assume true life's forms. With each glance, newborn images pace new vistas. A plethora of perspectives emerge from each optic revise. Expressive visual language enacted in artistic strokes of genius, creating a render of intentionally ambiguous notions, only to be revealed in the eye of the beholder. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Jody. And what did you think, Pam?
Oh, such wonderful imagery and thoughtful lines. I like how it speaks on individual perspective and how the artist can mean one thing when they create the artwork, but it can become a new creation in the eyes of the viewer. You know, and just wonderful right altogether on delving deep into the artwork and coming out with your own message. So very well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful, you know, resonates with, you know, the poetry that we write too, you know. I think we're all, you know, what we're going through maybe in life or where we're at or from our past experiences, it all influences us on how we read a poem or how we interpret a piece of art. You know, I think, you know, everyone comes away with, can come away with their own vision of the meaning. And what did you think, Zach?
I thought it was great. I like especially how it starts with some trepidation. So there's like some hesitance there to kind of like peel back the curtain of this artist's imagination and kind of gaze at what's inside, because you never know what you might find there. It's a bit like Pandora's box, as it were, sometimes. And I think in this case, it's a little bit more less overwhelming than that, and a lot more welcoming and inviting. And it's just really well done and a well-written piece.
Absolutely. And what did you think, Jody? That was a wonderful read.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the poem captured the essence of art, you know, as a subjective experience, you know, where, like you were saying, you know, the beholder's interpretation holds as much significance as the artist's intention itself. You know, I thought it had great, vivid imagery, you know, that invited the reader to immerse themselves in the artwork's nuances. You know, definitely eloquently celebrated the transformative power of art, you know, and the unique perspective each viewer brings to it. So, yeah, that was pretty cool. I like how you worded that. Very well done.
Absolutely. And there's 2 minutes, well, 1 minute left, so that's going to be it for tonight. I put up the link for our Art of Seduction show tomorrow, and I invite everybody to write for it. It's for tomorrow night, and, you know, if you want to delve in, there's very wonderful quotes and candlelight and romance and, you know, love. So, yeah, just take a look at that contest and try and write, get a write in for it for tomorrow night. So, and thank you, everybody that came on. Thank you, Zach, for being, you know, wonderful, you know, commenter and reader. And Jody, thank you. so much for being here, Dexter. Thank you. And Gray, thank you. Oh, my gracious, Gray, I forgot you were there. Oh, my. Are you still there, Gray? There's too many people on.
Yeah.
I get, oh, my gracious, there's too many people on. I get too lost. And thank you, Gray. And, yes, everybody who wrote, thank you, Pam and Phil, for being my wonderful co-hosts. And, yeah, just thank you, everybody, for being on the board. Thank you, Luyu, and everybody on the board, Robbie. And thank you so much, everybody. And, yeah, great rest of the week to everybody. And good night, everybody.
Good night.